Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, the phones are working again. Hooray. Or if you'd rather, you can log into the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, the one thing that hit me about last night's Monday Night Raw is nobody told me, I had no advance information at all, that it was a special five-hour Monday Night Raw. I just thought, what's that? It wasn't a special five-hour Monday Night Raw? It just felt that way. Oh, okay. All right. It was a three-hour Monday Night Raw that felt like a five-hour Monday Night Raw. I knew something was wrong. Okay, well, I'm not in a really good mood today about Raw, and you know why I'm not in a good mood? I'm not in a good mood because, like I do every single week, I scour the internet, and I scour the various shows looking for people who may agree. Looking for fans who say, you know, that this was weird, or, you know, I didn't like this, or a little hope of life somewhere out there on the planet. And what do I get? 85%. Oh, it was really good. Oh, this match was awesome. Folks, the only thing I can tell you, as a longtime wrestling fan, is that you are being conditioned to believe that if a match is good in and of itself, two athletes or four, whatever it ends up being, get in that ring and do a solid, good job, hit all their spots, make the match exciting, that's good enough. That's wrestling. That's what wrestling is supposed to be. And that's just good enough. And I'm here to tell you, that's not good enough. That's not what wrestling is supposed to be. Any more than acting is supposed to be, well, they were good actors, their lines sucked, and the story sucked, but hey, they did their lines okay. That doesn't make a good movie. Wrestling is a television show, and it's an episodic television show. And it's about getting the viewer hooked into the storylines. It's about fleshing out characters. It's about viewers already knowing, oh my God, I wonder how the character is going to react to this. I think I know, but I can't wait to see. Things like that. And I guess the WWE's forgotten it. So let's jump right into this, because there's an awful lot to say. First off, we get Alexa Bliss coming out with Mickie James. And for the life of me, I do not know why. So let me get this straight, because I'm sure I must have missed something. Did something happen in the Elimination Chamber where Mickie James and Alexa Bliss kind of solidified that, okay, now we really do trust each other? Oh, no. Nothing did happen because she was out before Alexa Bliss ever got in. Did something happen backstage? Did we see something where Alexa Bliss really actually did bury the hatchet and it was resolved? Oh, no. No, we didn't. But here's Mickie James, who 2 weeks ago didn't trust her and said, I know what you're trying to pull. You just want a friend in the Elimination Chamber. Don't give me none of your crapola. An honorable, wonderful woman who thinks Bayley is great and thinks Sasha's great and is standing up for the women's division is now standing side by side of Alexa Bliss while she makes fun of Asuka's English and says Bayley is a sad case. And her motivation for doing that is what? Please explain it to me. Explain to me Mickie James' character. Mickie James is a legendary woman wrestler who has come back to, you know, I guess even not as great a success, but come back to solidify the women's division. Yes, she was a heel to begin with, but she saw the error of her ways. She got turned on by Alexa Bliss. She understood what the situation was. And right up until 2 weeks ago, she was on the good guy's side. And then, I guess because Alexa Bliss said, I really do think you're a wonderful person and a wonderful mother, that changed everything. Her whole perspective has changed. And she now says, Alexa is wonderful and the good girls are my enemy. Because that makes sense. So right away I'm aggravated. Because at first I'm saying to myself, well, Alexa Bliss is doing a great job of getting heat. But Mickie James is going to say, whoa, 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 whoa. What the hell do you think you're doing? You know, I thought, okay, she came out there with her. They're struggling to trust one another again. But she's not going to put up with this blatant bullying and this blatant bad-mouthing of girls who she admired 2 weeks ago. But no, she certainly is going to. Not only is she going to do that, she's going to help attack her 3-on-1 when Asuka comes out. So Asuka comes out, Nia Jax comes out, and what do you know? There's a 3-on-1 beatdown, and guess who's in the middle of it? Mickie James. I'd love to know why. I'd love to know why. What's the sudden thing? If you're going to do this, fine. I'm not against turning Mickie James heel. Don't get me wrong. But then do something in that goddamn elimination chamber that we say, okay, now I see why Alexa Bliss and her are going to be buddy-buddy again. Okay, now I see the true colors of Mickie James. Okay, this is where their friendship got re-solidified. This is what I told you about yesterday when I said there were no storylines in that women's match that could lead to something good. And I know you're going to bring up the Sasha thing. I'll get to that in a minute. Absolutely no reason in the world we were given for Mickie James to suddenly just be on Alexa Bliss's side other than she said a few nice things about me. Oh, is that who she is then? Is she a complete moron? That's the character. So if you ask me as a writer, explain Mickie James' character, I would have to say, well, she's a legendary female wrestler who helped set the standard that women's wrestling is today. She's a complete moron who, if you say one nice thing about her, male or female, she's on your side, but she'll turn on you in a heartbeat. She has no real motivation to win anything. She just wants to be the lackey of the person who owns the belt. That doesn't sound like a really good character, does it? So what's this lead to? Six-man tag, another one. And the only reason they're giving you these six women tags is so they can get as many women in the damn show as possible. And it's not that it wasn't a good match. It was a pretty good match. But now here's the other thing. Sasha goes to make the tag, and Bayley jumps off the ring apron and says, nope, do it on your own. And everybody says, oh, finally, Bayley's showing some backbone. This is where Bayley says, I'm not taking any more of Sasha's bullshit. Well, I think the time to do that probably would have been in the Elimination Chamber when it really counted, because this match doesn't mean anything. You came running down there to ringside with her, side by side. So how does this match really mean anything? That doesn't mean anything. It was totally out of character for Bayley. If this had been at a critical moment where you say, the winner of this match gets something, a title shot or something, then you say, okay, Bayley really screwed her over. This didn't mean anything. It was meaningless that she didn't tag her. She ran right in the ring 2 seconds later to help Asuka. It was meaningless. Totally bad timing. If you want to do that spot, by all means, I'm all for that spot. But do that at a spot where people are like, oh, shit. That really is going to spell disaster for Sasha. This didn't spell disaster for anybody. They still won. They still won. And then I got people saying, well, you know, it was great that they made Asuka. They rehabbed Asuka. Rehabbed her? Rehabbed her from what? She won. She won in the Elimination Chamber. What are you rehabbing her from? having to sell to somebody? What is it that you exactly want? Do you want Asuka to just cakewalk through everybody because she's Asuka? But those same people who say, well, they had to rehab Asuka after she didn't look too good against Nia. She got kind of beat up there, even though she won. Are the same people saying, Roman Reigns always wins. How come you hand everything to Roman Reigns? How come you hand everything to Asuka? How come Asuka's okay to make the whole women's division look like they're little kids facing a giant, but Roman Reigns is not okay? How come it's okay for Braun Strowman to eliminate five guys? But, oh, he's not being handed everything. You better make, you know, you got to make up your mind what you want. So let's talk about the women's match to start with, Mike, because a lot of stuff aggravated me. The match was good, but the logic was way out the window on this.
You know, and furthermore, you're talking about the whole Mickie James, Alexa Bliss dynamic. What happened to that whole thing between Alexa and Nia Jax? I mean, for a couple months there, that was a big deal. They want that to be a big deal. Well, where was it? You know, I mean, we've talked about inconsistency in booking and writing before on this show. You know, that's being very, very inconsistent in what you're wanting to do. This, I mean, not only with Nia Jax, but with Mickie James, okay? She's going to be good. No, she's going to be bad. No, she's going to be good. No, she's going to be bad. Well, make your damn mind up. What is she?
It's totally lazy writing. They don't even want to give you the – if they had said, okay, look, our plan is Monday night, all three of these girls are going to attack Asuka, and this is going to lead to a match, then you logically have to say in the Elimination Chamber, something has to happen between Mickie James and Alexa Bliss that you say, okay, now they really are buddies. Okay, this is the moment that Mickie James said, I'm all in with Alexa Bliss. And none of that happened, Sabretooth. So what the hell is she doing standing there helping to beat up a girl who 2 weeks ago she was helping to protect?
I have no idea. You know, and it's like we said yesterday, I mean, like there were missed opportunities at Elimination Chamber, but yet they missed those opportunities, but yet they want to, like, it's like they're working backwards. It's like they should have had stuff like that happen during a pay-per-view and then play off that. You don't like have nothing happen during a pay-per-view and all of a sudden this is how things are with these characters. You can't do that. And they expect us to fall for that shit. I mean, I was pissed off with that.
It was awful. And I feel bad for Mickie James because she deserves better than that. Todd, it makes no sense.
You're absolutely right there about that. Oh, like one week she's a face, and next week is a heel. Then, like you said with Bayley, that she should have done this Sunday night in the Elimination Chamber match to turn her back on Sasha Banks. Why last night?
If Bayley had stood up for herself in that Elimination Chamber, it would have meant something if Sasha was in trouble and Bayley was like, nope, not helping you. Or in another Raw where there's a very important match. But in this match meant nothing. It was a thrown-together match based on the fact that these girls came down to help Asuka. So it's a nothing match. The consequences of her jumping off that ring apron and not tagging Sasha was exactly zero. So I'm not even sure. If you're going to have that moment, make that moment be one of those, oh, man, moments. Not just, okay, who cares? Didn't mean anything. They won anyway. Don't like that. That's a moment that you could have had be big. That's a moment that you could have had make impact and really flesh out both of these characters. And by the way, people saying, oh, good, it's finally Bayley, you know, standing up to Sasha. What did Sasha do wrong? That cage is everybody for themselves. The tag team match wasn't everybody for themselves. So if anybody did anything wrong, it's Bayley. And the WWE does this all the time, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. The WWE does this all the time where the heel, the person you're supposed to boo, the person you're supposed to not be able to take the side of, always is correct. Face, the one you're supposed to root for, always is wrong. And I don't get that. In this case, Sasha Banks, regardless of what she did in the Elimination Chamber, regardless of what she did in the Royal Rumble, those are every person for themselves. And everybody in there knows it. Seth Rollins just laughed about it when Roman Reigns eliminated him and said, oh, okay, them's the breaks. But we're supposed to be outraged that Sasha would dare eliminate Bayley? Why? And Bayley's supposed to be so stupid that she's like, I know it's every woman for herself, but I thought we'd split the belt. Come on. That doesn't make any sense. There's no motivation there for Bayley to do that in that spot. None. Zero. And that's the problem with the WWE writing, is their character motivations are completely upside down, ass backwards. So we get John Cena out. And John Cena cuts a decent promo like he always does and says, I don't know where my path to WrestleMania was. For 5 minutes there, I was feeling sorry for myself, but, you know, I'm here to challenge The Undertaker. The roof blows off the building. I guess everybody wants to see it. I guess they just want to see Taker, because I really don't want to see this match. And then he says, now you know how it feels to be disappointed, because I've already been told that match is not happening. Now, don't bank on that. This could just be a work. Cena could go to SmackDown, fail, and then Taker could show up last minute and say, I'm accepting that challenge. I bet you never thought that would happen, and it's on. It could happen. I don't know if it will happen, but it could happen. So I take that with a grain of salt. I'm not sure that's not happening. I'm not sure it's the wisest idea to tease fans about a match and let them cheer and then say, yeah, but it's not happening, unless it kind of is happening. So we'll wait and see. Decent promo. I don't have a problem with that. There's not much to talk about there. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Here comes The Miz. And The Miz is in rare form. And The Miz says, you know, I'm the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. I'm almost held the belt more than anybody else. He goes through a whole laundry list of people he's better than. And says, I don't even have a goddamn t-shirt. Well, he has one. He has one, actually, in the shop zone. But he's kind of right, you know what I mean? It's based in reality. Where's all my merchandise? Where's the Miz sunglasses? Where's the Miz Tourage, you know, gear? Where's the whatever? No, it's not there. You're right. So now I'm sitting there saying, yeah, he's kind of right. And then he says, I don't even have a match for WrestleMania. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I've made this belt mean more than the Universal belt, and I don't even have a match for WrestleMania, which is 5 weeks away. And when I ask Kurt Angle, he won't even tell me. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, that's ridiculous. He's absolutely right. So now why am I agreeing with The Miz? I thought The Miz is a bad guy. I thought The Miz is supposed to be a guy who says, I don't want to defend my belt at WrestleMania. I feel I've earned the right not to defend my belt at WrestleMania. I think I should be given a pass. Those are the heels. Here's the guy saying, I want to be at WrestleMania. I want to defend my belt. But just be fair and please give me a guy, you know, let me know who he's going to be so I can train for him. And Kurt Angle, who's supposed to be the good guy, is saying, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what we see. And then he says, well, he told me I'm going to have a match, and this could maybe possibly lead to who I'm fighting. So Seth Rollins comes out. Think to myself, okay, well, that's okay, I guess. If you're going to have Seth Rollins versus The Miz, it could be good. That could be good. They put on a great match. Again, the matches aren't the problem. It's the motivations of the characters. Because right now you're saying to yourself, The Miz is kind of right, and why does The Miz have to go through this before he knows who he's facing? That doesn't sound right. It makes Kurt Angle look like a heel. And it makes The Miz look like a face, and it makes Seth Rollins look like an opportunist who is taking advantage of the heel. Rollins wins, and before he can even celebrate, here comes Finn Balor, and he's got to fight him too. Because why? Because that's fair? Authority was doing this. Everybody said, so the bad guy. Yeah, well, that's a bad guy move. That's a heel move. What would ever motivate anyone to say The Miz has to fight two people? For what reason? And Corey Graves on commentary is absolutely right, saying this is ridiculous. It's not fair in any way, shape, or form. And what does that make? You know, if Finn Balor is supposed to be this great, stand-up guy, why wouldn't Finn Balor say, wait a minute, I don't want to fight a guy that's half beat. I'm better than that. I'm not coming out here and picking the bones after Seth Rollins got done. I don't need to do that. I can beat The Miz on my own. But no, he's out there all happy and smiles. I get to beat up The Miz. That's a heel move. That's another heel move. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sitting there, I'm rooting for The Miz because I'm like, well, who would you root for? Here's a poor guy who says, look, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I bust my ass every day to make it a top belt again. I don't even have a ticket to WrestleMania. Kurt Angle's telling me I got to wrestle two people in one night, and maybe, just maybe, that's going to decide who I wrestle. How is that fair in anybody's universe? So Sabretooth, I don't get how that makes The Miz a heel.
Right, and like you said earlier, I mean, like the whole, I mean, like The Miz's whole thing rubbed the wrong way because he should have came out there coveting that belt. He should have been happy that he didn't have to defend that belt at WrestleMania. He should have said something like, "Well, y'all are WrestleMania. I'll be working on my next movie, something, so I don't have to defend my belt." Fans should have been clamoring for him to have to defend that belt, not feeling sorry for him because he doesn't have a match. I mean, so yeah, like you said, they had a whole all ass backwards when they got the heels. I mean, like, the heels have legitimate gripes, and they shouldn't. And they shouldn't. I mean, you shouldn't feel bad for the heels.
No, you shouldn't feel, and they shouldn't be right. When The Miz says something like, "I don't even have a path to WrestleMania, and I'm the Intercontinental Champion," you shouldn't be like, "Well, that's right. He's right. And I have the longest reign." Well, he's right. And they're not even giving me any merchandise. And he's right. He's right about everything he's saying. So if he's right about everything he's saying, how is he the bad guy? And if The Miz is supposed to be so devious and clever and cunning and cowardly, Mike, why would he simply not punch the referee in the face in the Finn Balor match and say, "I'll take the disqualification loss. Who cares? I'm not standing here getting beat up after doing a match," you know?
You're right, and that's the thing. I mean, The Miz came off looking like the heat, like the face, you know. He's right, he's right, he's right, he's right. I mean, he keeps doing this, and they got to start cheering him. You know, the fans are going to start cheering him, man. And that's not what you want for The Miz. Right, and that's the thing. And you're going to have to turn, you're not only going to have to turn him, but you're going to have to turn The Miz to Rollins as well. And I that's why I thought this was going to go. I thought we were going to see possibly a double turn here with Finn Balor and The Miz. I mean, I was half expecting Anderson and Gallows to come out there. I mean,
well, they did, but they were thrown back.
I was expecting.
But they were thrown out of the arena or whatever. They were told they had to leave. Look, the bottom line is this: you can't make The Miz look like, okay, I'll gut it out. I'll face two top guys if that's what it takes to get to WrestleMania. Isn't that what a good guy does? I mean, why wouldn't The Miz take the shortcut and say, "Huh, count me out," or, "Hey, I'm instantly going to do something to get disqualified so I don't have to go through this second guy"? Then that would have made Finn Balor at least look more face. At this point, it makes Finn Balor look like a heel who's picking the bones of Seth Rollins' leftovers. It makes The Miz look like a face who's saying, "Okay, this isn't fair, but I'll give my all to try to beat both of these guys." How is that, in anybody's universe, a heel move, Todd? It's not.
Absolutely right there. It's not like a heel move or anything. It's more like a face move on part of The Miz. And like you said, he's right about not having merchandise, not having a match or any titles.
Yeah, and it's not fair to Finn Balor, and it's not fair to Seth Rollins, because what ends up happening is they don't get cheered as much because the bad guy isn't bad enough. The bad guy isn't doing bad guy things. So you say, "Oh, well, I kind of hope The Miz does win." You're not supposed to kind of hope The Miz wins. You're supposed to say, "I can't wait until somebody shuts The Miz's mouth. I can't wait until somebody takes that belt away from him. I hope it is Finn Balor. I hope it is Seth Rollins." That's what you're supposed to be doing. But you're setting this up so people are saying, "Well, you know, The Miz is okay. If he wins, that's cool." Well, no, it's not supposed to be cool. And again, that's what motivation of characters. So who is Finn Balor? Is Finn Balor this upstanding guy who is a legitimate athlete and wants to compete at the highest level who would say, fine, I'll pick the bones after Seth Rollins is done? Or is he the guy who would go to Kurt Angle and say, I'm not doing this. Give me a match with him next week when he's fresh. I don't want any excuses when I win. You see what I mean? It doesn't make Finn Balor look good. It doesn't even make him look good that he interrupted Seth Rollins, other than, you know, it's going to be a three-way. Not a fan of it. Not a fan of it at all. Was the match as good? Yeah. Both matches were good. I don't have a problem with either one. But for the life of me, I just don't get it, I guess. I just don't get why you'd make The Miz look that face, baby face, that, you know, that he's going to overcome the obstacles if he can. Just ridiculous. Or why you'd make Kurt Angle look like he's picking on somebody before you get to the end of the show where he's needed to be a face. Boggles my mind. Now, let's continue with the mind-boggling. Fresh off their loss at the Elimination Chamber, guess who gets a 2 out of 3 falls title match? Titus Worldwide. And the reason for that 2 out of 3 falls title match is what? That they won a few times in non-title matches? Okay. But they lost. They lost with their shot. Whatever happened to you lost your shot, and now you go back down and have to work your way back up. I mean, common sense would tell you, okay, look, they've won 2 or 3 times in non-title matches. They lost in a title match. If you keep giving them shot after shot after shot, eventually, of course, the law of averages says they will win. It's almost like saying, okay, we're going to flip a coin, heads or tails. Tails, you lose. But I'll give you 9 more flips. Well, eventually you're going to win. So that doesn't make any sense. There's not even a pecking order anymore. It's not even you have to be good to get a shot. You can lose and get a shot the next night. And now it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. But for the life of me, if you're going to make it a 2 out of 3 falls match, can you please explain to me why Titus Worldwide can't get one fall? What was that all about? I don't get it. Then you might as well just make it one fall. What was the big 2 out of 3 falls thing for? Just to put the icing on the cake that we are way better than them. Remember, there were some fluke victories, but no, sir, they're not that good. You don't want that. You kind of want Titus Worldwide to come off saying, you know, okay, we lost the title shot, but we've beaten them guys. And we almost beat them again tonight. So that you say, well, they're right in the contention still. I'd watch another match with them. That's what you want. Instead, it was like, no, we polished them off, no problem. Pinned to one guy in 5 seconds in the first fall. And then 2 straight falls, bam, bam, on to the next. Sabretooth, for the life of me, I cannot figure out that why they would book that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I guess like now, like the losers get like a rematch clause. I guess if they lose, they have their rematch clause the next night. But yeah, you're right though, man. I mean, I don't see why they would have that 2 out of 3 and then like have them have the ball win both times. So to me, that says that Titus Worldwide, they had their push. Now they're done, because after this, I mean, the bar has proved that there's no need to continue it now since they got, you know. So I think, you know, they had their push. Now it's over, sadly, you know, after this.
And again, why 2 out of 3 falls if you planned it to just be one fall was a second long and the next one, you know, okay, it wasn't a second long, but it was still, I mean, it wasn't exactly like, you know, just have the one fall and just let it be that second fall. I mean, what was the point, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, I thought at one point that it could have been filler because it felt like 5 hours, but in actuality, you look at things developed and, you know, it's like, all right, we got to fill some time here, but no, 5 seconds, 1, 2, 3, boom, you know, and then less than 10 minutes to do the second file,
right.
You know. That's
you
not
could have filled
filling
the same time.
Time
with one fall. You could have filled that same
right.
time with one fall.
Now, if you want to seriously do my time-filling thing, you don't do a 5 second thing, and you have a 10 minute match and another 10 minute match. Yeah, you can have the same result, but again, it doesn't make sense. You know, it does not make sense. This booking does not make sense.
It didn't make sense at all. I thought for sure after they got that quick first fall, I said, okay, then we know what's going to happen. Titus Worldwide will get the second one, and then we'll go for a few minutes. But no, it was. I don't get it. For the life of me, I do not get it. Bizarre. Again, no 205 Live matches, which is good. They've decided to take our advice and just let 205 be 205. No Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. They were the first two eliminated, and out the door they go, and I don't know what we're going to do with Absolution from this point. But then something very interesting happens, doesn't it? Roman Reigns comes out. Supposedly to face Brock Lesnar. And after a moment of saying, you know, this, that, and the other thing, he says, I don't even know why I'm covering for this guy. And then he cuts into what's supposed to be a shoot, but it feels a lot like a work, and I'll tell you why in a minute. He says, look, Brock Lesnar's not here. Here's a spoiler alert. Brock Lesnar's not here. We've been waiting for him backstage, and I don't know why he's not here. He was supposed to be here. He's not here. He's too busy taking pictures with Dana White. He was in Vegas last night, didn't even stop by the event, because Brock Lesnar doesn't give a damn about this business. He doesn't give a damn about any of the boys in the back. He doesn't give a damn about you. He gives a damn about his big fat contract. He shows up when he wants to. If the city is close to where he wants to, he does exactly what he wants to when he wants to, and that's the facts. And everybody in the back knows it. They just won't say it. So I'm going to say it. And if I'm in trouble and I get in trouble for it, I get in trouble for it. Brock Lesnar has no respect for the business. Brock Lesnar has no respect for people in this business. And Brock Lesnar has no respect for the fans. And up to this point, I'm saying, well, all of this is true. It's 100% true. Pretty sure Roman Reigns was told to go out there and say that. And here's where I know for sure he was. He adds Paul Heyman to it. This was a mistake on Roman Reigns' part. If you really wanted this to feel real, two things. Number one, WWE would just cut his mic off. But two things should have happened to make this look more real. One is that you leave Paul Heyman out of it, or you actually mention Paul Heyman, but not in a bad way. You know, if you had said something like, and it's not just me, it's not just the people back, you know, look at Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman has a great mind for this business. He's a great asset to this company. And we can't even use him because the guy he is attached to shows up once a year. So it's not even doing Paul Heyman any favors. Then I would have said, oh, well, now we're in some territory where we're not sure what's up. But the minute he said, and Paul Heyman's no better, then I said, okay, this is a work. Because he doesn't feel that way about Paul Heyman. And nobody else does either. So it's a work, but it's a pretty good work because it's based in reality, because I will guarantee you, I don't know what Roman Reigns feels, but I promise you there are guys in that dressing room who think the exact same thing for real. And when he said, you know, we bust our ass, we go city to city, we go into towns where there's not many people, there are not many fans, you know, we go to big buildings, small buildings, but guess what? If we're booked to be there, we're there. And where's Roman Reigns? I mean, where's Brock Lesnar? Brock Lesnar is, you know, floating around somewhere because he's above all this, because his contract says he doesn't have to be, and we're sick of it. We bust our ass to get where we are. He doesn't do anything. I'm sure there are people who feel that way. And it's 100% true. It's 100% true. Now, why he wasn't there, did they tell him, don't come and we're going to pull this angle to make Roman Reigns get over a bit? Maybe. That's a very strong possibility. And if they did, that's good and that's smart. But then they should have went one step further. They should have had somebody come out and tell them to cut his mic before he got totally finished. I mean, what I would have loved to have seen to really solidify this whole thing is a WWE official come out there, have his mic cut off, have Reigns tap the mic and realize my mic is off, and then have the official tell him, come on, let's go, and then get right into each other's face yelling and screaming. Well, we can't hear what they're saying. But the official telling Reigns, get out of the ring and whatever, and Reigns saying, you just cut my goddamn mic off, and, you know, really make it look like I was about to say something and everybody feels that way, and you cut it off. That would have been much more effectual, in my opinion, and it would have made people say that could be real. Now, Brock Lesnar does have some pictures floating around of him with Dana White in Las Vegas, and those are real pictures, and those are new. So he was in Vegas and didn't show up, but he wasn't scheduled to show up. This was the only part of Raw that I thought, this is actually very good storyline-wise. I think it could have been handled a tiny little bit better because there was only probably 10 seconds there where I thought, I wonder if this is a shoot. And then almost instantly I was like, no, it's not. And I think if it was handled better by somebody more skilled on the mic and somebody realizing you have to leave Paul Heyman out of it, you can't lump Paul Heyman in with this. If you do, everybody knows it's a work. Or if you do mention Paul in a positive way. Because then that makes it sound like it's even more real, because why would you mention Paul in a positive way when you're not supposed to like him? So I would have loved for Roman Reigns to say Paul Heyman deserves better than this too. He's a talented guy who people like to see on television, and he's relegated to coming out and walking out of guy and sticking to my client Brock Lesnar and my name is Paul Heyman when we know how much better he could do. I would have loved to hear that line, because if we heard that, I would have said, oh boy, I'm not 100% sure what's going on. But still, Mike, I thought it was very strong.
Yeah, I thought it was very strong too. And I'll further add this. If you're not going to do it the way you're saying to do it, once he mentions Paul Heyman, we should have seen Paul Heyman. You know, Paul Heyman could have come out here, dropped a pipe bomb on him, or a worked pipe bomb, and then left, you know? I mean, at least get some use out of Paul Heyman.
Could you imagine if Paul Heyman came out and confronted him? Yeah. I mean, Paul Heyman could have said some things like, well, what, are you jealous? How often does The Undertaker show up, Roman? But you were saying how wonderful it was to fight him and how honored you were to fight him. How often does he show up, Roman? How often does John Cena grace us with his presence? You better learn a little bit about this business, because if you had that contract, you'd be loving it too. So don't get out here and lie to the fans and say that we bust our ass because we have to. You bust your ass because you have to. Brock Lesnar doesn't bust his ass because he doesn't have to, because he's accomplished more than you're ever going to accomplish in this business. Then that would have been good. As they had it now, though, Sabretooth, I only bought it for maybe a few seconds before I realized this is a work.
Right, and also it reminds me of the whole Ronda Rousey contract signing when Triple H let Kurt Angle hold on and let Mike steal, even though he was so-called going off the cuff. You know, I mean, you just take the microphone away from him, you know. And also, Roman Reigns went in on the fans also when he said Brock doesn't care about this business or you, but yet y'all boo me and y'all cheer him. He should have went like full hog, hello fans. I mean, cause they, like, y'all boo me, but y'all cheer him even though he doesn't give a damn about y'all. He didn't do that, and I wish he would.
You're right, absolutely. Todd, here's what I'd love to see. Tell me what you think. I know it's a very convoluted mess, and the WWE doesn't like to do convoluted stuff like this, but if you really want to get Roman Reigns over with the fans, then either right away or a WWE proclamation on their website or whatever it happens to be, or on Monday Night Raw next week, you should have Triple H come out, not as an evil man, or Vince McMahon come out, not as an evil man, but really as like a businessman, and say, based on the comments of Roman Reigns last week, we have no choice but to remove him from the title match. Brock Lesnar's been nothing but an asset to this company. Brock Lesnar has brought more eyes to this company. Brock Lesnar is this. Brock Lesnar is that. Brock Lesnar deserves everything he gets. And we are not going to have someone like Roman Reigns come out here and disparage him, especially when we're negotiating a contract. Then what would happen is fans would side with Roman Reigns, especially if other people said, you can't take that opportunity away from him. He earned it. Why you give Brock Lesnar everything? Why is Brock Lesnar special? The hell, what's the deal with Brock Lesnar? Reigns is right. He don't bust his ass. Then fans would sort of see Reigns as the underdog. The problem with that is Brock Lesnar, in reality, is fucking with the WWE. His contract isn't up because he wanted to do something, I forget what, and they said then it rolls over to SummerSlam. He's already apparently told the WWE it can roll over to SummerSlam till it's blue in the face. I'm not coming to SummerSlam unless I have a new contract. After WrestleMania, I don't intend to do a goddamn thing unless you resign. So the WWE is in no mood to play. They sign Brock Lesnar in the next few days or whatever it happens to be. Todd, wouldn't it be a great gimmick as if the WWE was playing up how Brock deserves everything he gets, knowing the fans will say, no, he doesn't, and kind of side with Roman Reigns and side with some of the people. You know, you could have skits in the back with people coming up to Roman Reigns saying, dude, that was cold-blooded. You got your shot taken away from you. Are you gonna sit still for that? Are you going to sit still while Brock Lesnar runs this whole thing because the powers that be think he's this and that and the other thing? Or are you going to stand up for all the boys in the business that bust their ass? You know, I think that would be a really good angle, Todd.
Yeah, that would be an awesome angle right there. You could play this up all the way up to SummerSlam or past SummerSlam. You could do
or at least until WrestleMania, Sabretooth, you could say, look, Roman Reigns is representing the boys. The boys, even some of the heels, could get together and say, hey, Reigns, you know, I don't like you, but you're representing the boys here. You got to go out there and take Lesnar out. Because you're
right,
absolutely
like
right. Everything you said is right, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, he didn't go far enough. I mean, like I said, he could have went on the fans. I mean, he could have even brought up on SmackDown. At least their champion is there every week. Where's our champion? You know, he could have went full hog with this. He didn't go, like I said, if they really wanted to, but he didn't go far enough with it, man. I mean, like you said, he could have really, like, stirred up, like, you know, like, stirred up like some faith points that way, though. Making Brock Lesnar, like, he's, like, the end-all, be-all of this business. And the guy can even show
right.
up, you know, he shows up when he wants to. But, like I said, but it's, like, another missed opportunity.
I would love to have seen that happen, and I would love to have seen exactly what I'm talking about. You could have probably went a long ways toward healing Roman Reigns with the fans if you went through this. The powers that be think Brock Lesnar is better than everybody in that dressing room, and Roman Reigns was the first guy to come out and flat out say, that's bullshit. And now, even guys who don't like Reigns very much are coming up to him saying, dude, you are absolutely right, more power to you. Go out there and kick his fucking ass. Because when you do, you're representing every one of us that went up and down these highways busting our ass while he was sitting in some freaking hotel room watching it on TV. And we're with you. We're actually with you. You win at WrestleMania, then all bets are off and we're coming for you. But at WrestleMania, we're all with you. He's got to go. That would have been cool. That would have been cool as hell. And I think fans would have been like, yeah, we're with them too. We're right. We are sick of Brock Lesnar. Especially, you know, if, like I said, Vince McMahon and Triple H and Paul Heyman came out and said, oh, you fans, you don't know anything about this. This is his contract. He's earned this. He deserves this. He's not your normal guy back there. You know, you're all sitting here saying, oh, Finn Balor's wonderful. Seth Rollins is wonderful. Oh, this guy's wonderful. They haven't earned any kind of respect like Brock Lesnar's earned. Then fans would get mad and say, oh, that's bullshit. I think you'd have had a superb angle there if you could pull that off, Mike.
Yeah. Can you imagine the series of events? He does exactly what he did last night. Then next week we get Vince McMahon saying what you say. Then the next week we get Roman Reigns on Miz TV, and Miz saying, look, I don't like you. We've had our problems. We'll probably have our problems again. But I agree with what you said, and you're right on this. And I'm for you until you win that title, and then I'm after you. Can you?
What
imagine?
I'd like to have seen is just him get stripped of it and say you don't get the shot. If that's the way you feel, you don't get the shot. We run this company. We know you earned it, but we also have the right to take it away. And that's what we're doing. If you feel that way, and you would publicly say something like that about one of our top athletes, our top guy, then you don't deserve to be the champion. So we pull your shot. And then if everybody had said, well, guess what? You know, you could have had that one moment where Roman Reigns says, week or two before WrestleMania, when they're deciding who's going to be the champion or who's going to fight the champion, Roman Reigns could have said, well, look, you know what, then? If that's what it's come to, that I can't speak my mind about a guy like this, then I guess I don't want to be the champion of this federation because I thought I represented the boys. I thought I represented everybody who busted their ass, but I guess not. If every one of them guys, a la Daniel Bryan's, ring in, came down to ringside and said, guy doesn't get his shot at WrestleMania, we're not going either. And one by one, everybody showed solidarity for that one day with Roman Reigns and said, we're boycotting WrestleMania. Till Vince, you get Vince having his eyes bugging out of his head saying, we're not even going to have a WrestleMania. And reluctantly say, okay, damn it. Fine. You get your title shot back. But Brock Lesnar is going to destroy you and prove once and for all that he deserves the belt, unlike you. Then every fan would be like, we're with Roman Reigns. I'm guaranteeing you that would happen, Sabretooth.
Right. But like I said, man, I don't think they do it like that, though, man. Like I said, getting that kind of faith, it's for the heels to do. I mean, only heels get legitimate gripes like that, not the faces. So.
So now let's get to the Ronda Rousey thing. You get Stephanie and Triple H come back out there and basically say, Kurt said some things that he kind of made up. He's had a fever and he's delusional. And, I ended up slapping Ronda Rousey. Yes. But I mean, she did put my husband through a table. I was just trying to defend my husband. And we started out on the wrong foot. We got to hit the reset button here. So the first thing we're going to do is have Kurt Angle come out here and apologize. And instead, here comes Ronda Rousey, which was a good move. I give him credit for that. So I'm not waiting for Kurt Angle. Here I come. Triple H gets Stephanie out of the ring. That's another good move. And then Kurt chases her down saying, whoa, 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 before we even get started here. I lied. I don't know why I lied. But I lied. I haven't been feeling well. Maybe I misheard some things, but I was wrong. And I apologize. Then Stephanie and Triple H get back in the ring and say, see, we've gotten off to a wrong start here. You can't really blame Kurt either. He's been very sick. Let's just forget it and make you the superstar that we know you're going to be. And they say, okay, everything's good. And they start to leave the ring. And Ronda Rousey says, well, no, wait. One thing you haven't explained is the slap. Well, she kind of did explain it, but okay. She says, and nothing's going to be okay until you apologize. Well, this set the fans up because, of course, Stephanie never shows any ass. So, fans are eager for it. And Stephanie comes over and basically says, look, I am sorry I slapped you, but you did just put my husband through a table. And I let my emotions get the best of me, but I'm very sorry. It was unprofessional. I'm sorry. And everything seems okay. And then for no reason at all, Triple H hits Kurt Angle, proving everything that they just said was a lie. So while some people are saying, oh, I liked that, I hated that. Because then unless Ronda Rousey has the IQ of an ice cube, she now knows that's not true. And everything they said isn't true. Or there would have been no reason to strike Kurt Angle. Now, I know they got to set up Kurt Angle to be her partner for WrestleMania, but you could have done it in a much better way than that. You could have done it in a much better way than that. You only got 5 or 6 weeks to WrestleMania. What was wrong with Kurt Angle apologizing and then them, you know, all hugging it out and saying everything's wonderful, and then when they go to leave the ring, have Kurt Angle say, no, I can't do this. I'm not going to lie to this girl's face. I got too much integrity to do it. I didn't mishear anything. You guys are vipers. If you want to fire me, fire me. For Kurt Angle to say, I need this job, like he's broken homeless, is dumb. And again, it's not what a babyface does. If you're the babyface, you got to be honorable, and you say, I don't care if I need this job. So he could have said, as much as I love this job and as much as I want this job, I'm not lying to this girl for you. That's exactly what you said. That would have been cool. Then if he attacked Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey tried to grab a hold of them or something, they slid out of the ring, that would have been cool. As it is now, I know they're trying to slow tell the story, but the story doesn't make any sense. Because now Ronda Rousey should certainly know, Sabretooth, that they lied to her.
Yeah, they did. And also, to me, him punching Kurt Angle, to me, like him punching Kurt Angle is like too much. Hold on. Yeah, like to me, like him punching like Kurt Angle is like too much too soon. I mean, doled it out after where he's like frustrated enough to punch Kurt Angle. And also, Stephanie just like kowtowing to, and also like her like kowtowing to Ronda Rousey was totally out of place, because all the girls that she done dressed down, even
right.
Sasha Banks, who said who she told she was the boss, all of a sudden she kowtowed to Ronda Rousey, even after saying in the ring that like she has to, you know, she has a contract, which means she has to do things differently, even like dressing her down at first, but then kowtowing to her in person. That was all, it was all kind of misplaced.
Yeah, and you know what? I could have seen her kowtowing down to her if she didn't sign the contract yet. You know, if she said, I still haven't signed this contract, I could see Stephanie saying, I will kiss ass to get this contract signed because we need her. That I understood, I would understand, but they already got her. They already got her. And again, punching Kurt Angle is not only too soon, but it takes away, it makes Triple H look like a moron. Because, okay, we just smoothed things out with Ronda Rousey. She believes us now. And then you do something to instantly make it look like, well, we just lied to you again. Mike, that doesn't make any sense.
Right, and you could have had the punch. You could have had the confrontation with him and Triple H at a later date. I mean, I assume they're going to use Triple H more coming down to WrestleMania. I mean, we're going to start seeing him more and more and more on TV other than what he does with NXT. You know,
right?
I assume he's going to be on TV more. So they really didn't have to have that confrontation last night. I mean, they could have
Mike, they shouldn't have had the confrontation last night. Last night should have been the moment where Kurt Angle, as the brave American hero, as the big baby face general manager, should have said, "Rhonda, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably going to lose my job over this, but you know what? If I do, I do. I didn't lie. This is what I heard. And you're walking into a nest of vipers if you're coming in here. And as much as it's great to have you here, I want you to come in here with your eyes wide open. And if it means I lose my job, then I lose my job. But I'm not going to lie to you." That would have been a baby face move where you say, well, I respect that. And then if Triple H had blown up and attacked him or whatever, cool. Cool. But this doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we did skip the one match, which is Elias versus Braun Strowman. They think a lot of Elias. The WWE is beginning to think a lot of Elias, and I told you they would. I told you he was right up their alley, exactly what they're looking for. Once again, he did a very funny song, and Braun Strowman comes out, and was it a great match? No, but, you know, you're getting what you're getting with Braun Strowman. But I thought it was kind of clever to have him use the fire extinguisher and then run. And there's, you know, he didn't lose. Braun Strowman didn't beat him. Now, I don't know if they're setting this up for WrestleMania. That's not much of a WrestleMania match for Braun Strowman. But it's possible. It was okay. It was all right. Nothing really much to talk about. You notice what ended the show was Stephanie and Triple H. And the Bray Wyatt thing. Let's talk about that. Bray Wyatt, now, after all that's happened, now they're trying to rebuild Bray Wyatt. They're letting him do the Sister Abigail the way he used to when he was in NXT, where he'd walk you out of the corner like he was dancing. That was an old NXT thing he used to do. And they're letting him be more himself, and he totally demolishes two guys who used to be the tag team champions. And then says, well, this war isn't over, and I'm like, oh, I knew it. I knew it. And apparently Matt Hardy sent out a tweet saying the war is going to be fought on my in my compound or on my battleground or whatever, which means they're going to have some kind of a match on the Hardy compound, which, fine, I guess. But, I mean, at some point, you got to make a decision what the hell you're going to do. Fans aren't buying into this. They're just not. And Sabretooth, I don't know about you, but when he said the war isn't over, I don't care where the war is fought. I'm like, oh, my God, not again.
Yeah, man, it's too little too late, man, with this feud. Like I said, man, if they had done, if they had, like, kicked this thing off the right way with both these characters, man, I mean, we'd be clamoring to see these guys going at it still. But like I said, but now it's too little too late, man. I mean, Matt beat him at the Raw anniversary. You know, he beat him then. He beat him at the pay-per-view. He beat him Sunday. I mean, what more? I mean, it's just too late, man. I mean,
wouldn't it have been better if Bray Wyatt won? Wouldn't it have been better if Bray Wyatt won and then Matt Hardy could say the war's not over, but I want you to fight me on my compound? Because then if he wins in his compound, it doesn't really hurt Bray Wyatt that much because you say, well, I mean, you know, Matt Hardy had a big advantage there, didn't he? You know what I mean?
That would make sense. I mean, like, that would have made sense because, like, to have him losing Sunday, it would have made. I mean, they can go with the. I think going with the stick that, like, losing at the pay per view, it made Matt even, like, even more crazy or even more woken. So, so you can see, like, maybe him wanting to continue it, but after being beat, but after Matt beat Bray Wyatt twice already, you know, why would he want to continue it? It doesn't make sense.
Right, and not only that, but again, if what's Bray going to do? Win on the Matt Hardy compound? Probably not. So it would have been better if Bray won these matches and then lost at the compound, Mike, because then at least you could say, well, all right, but, you know, Matt had an advantage.
Yeah, and here's something else to think about. If they're going to do this compound match as possibly at WrestleMania, you know, then, you know, we haven't seen Jeff Hardy yet, back yet, and you got another 4, 5, 6 weeks to make a decision on whether or not you're going to bring in Reby and somebody to play Senior Benjamin and all these guys that were part of the Matt Hardy thing in TNA, you know, that. They really need to do this if they're going to do it right, is to have Jeff Hardy and Reby and Senior Benjamin and the drone and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, they're going to have to do it right, but then if they do it right and Matt Hardy loses, that hurts Matt Hardy. See, this is why they did it out of order. It doesn't make any sense. If Matt Hardy loses on his compound, that really makes Matt Hardy look. And all the buildup you're giving him for the compound means nothing. If Bray Wyatt loses, no big deal, because you say, well, you know, what, Bray Wyatt stumbled into the enemy territory and he lost, big deal. He won two times in a row. Other than that, in the ring, that would have made a lot more sense. But unfortunately, in the land of the WWE, you know, logic goes out the window. And again, we're faced with a situation where Raw, the matches were very good. Some of the promos were very good, but the storylines either came too late or are convoluted or don't make any sense. So, Mike, let's start with you. What's your rating this week?
I got to give the matches and the promos and such a B, but the rest of it a D, and, you know, a D minus, and, you know, a middling grade of maybe a D plus, you know, for everything, because it's so convoluted and all that stuff. And look, I saw that limo. I was expecting Strowman to turn that limo over.
Yeah, me too. I thought something was going to happen. Look, the matches and the promos were okay, but fans are now being conditioned to say, as long as the matches were okay, it doesn't matter if any storylines came out of them, if any logical threads, if any drama of I can't wait till next week came out of it. as long as the matches were good. And that's wrong. You're being conditioned to believe that, but that's not the truth. The truth is the matches got to be good, but they got to lead to things. They've got to lead to you anticipating, I can't wait to see next week. I can't wait to see what happens. When you shut off your favorite episodic television show, or you're watching it on Netflix and it's 1 a.m. and you got to be to work and you're like, I'm still going to watch the next episode. I can't wait. That's good writing. When you say, eh, whatever, see what happens next week, no big deal. That's not good writing. And I see nothing that I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait till next week to see what? To see what? That's the problem. It didn't leave you with anything that you're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to so-and-so? I wonder how so-and-so is going to react to this. What's next for this person? They're not leaving you with that. And they're not even giving you good build-up so you can say, I'm solidly behind Seth Rollins because why? I'm solidly behind Finn Balor because why? When everything the Miz said is true. We're not getting good storytelling. And because of that, they may be giving you good matches. These are professional athletes. But the good matches in and of themselves are not good enough, Sabretooth, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, like, we'll do the good match without the the motivation behind it or the good story behind it. I mean, like, a match can be good, but if you're not, like, if you're not compelled to be for or against, like, whoever's in it, then it's all a new point, you know. And as far as the grade, I'm going to give it a C-, man. It was a mixed bag to me. I mean, it was just a mixed bag, a C-.
Yeah, character motivation is so important. And I wish we could just do a whole show on character motivation one day because it's so crucial to wrestling. People don't realize. And a lot of fans say it doesn't matter. As long as they're good athletes in the ring, that's all I care about is the match. Because you haven't been exposed to when they're really good character motivation. But if you watch your favorite TV show or you watch your favorite sitcom, whatever it happens to be, I don't care if you're 60 years old or you're 15, 16 years old. I don't care whether you're watching a Nickelodeon sitcom or you're watching The Honeymooners. The reason you like it is because you know the characters. And you know ahead of time, uh-oh, this happened. That character is going to be cool to see what happens with this guy. What happens now? You know the characters. And they always stay in that character. And the things they do are logical for that character. That's why you like it. No matter what, whether you're watching Married with Children, you know how Al Bundy's going to react to something. You know, you get the idea of, uh-oh, this is happening. I can't wait to see how he's going to react to this. Or whatever you happen to be watching. The greatest characters in history, whether they're drama characters or whether they're sitcom characters or whether they're soap opera characters, are the characters that you already know how they're going to react to situations and you anticipate it. And we don't get any of that in the WWE these days. We just don't. And it's a shame. As a matter of fact, we get the opposite. We get characters that react in ways that you say, I don't think that character should react that way. Why would Mickie James suddenly want to gang jump Asuka just because Alexa Bliss said a few nice things about her? Why would she be at Bayley and Sasha's throat when she loved them 2 weeks ago? That doesn't make any sense. Or I don't see why Finn Balor would be laughing about picking the bones of the Miz when it makes him look like a wuss and an opportunist. Wouldn't he be the guy to stand up and say, I don't want to do this? Or I don't see why Kurt Angle would kowtow to Triple H just because he needs a job. Isn't his thing integrity? Why wouldn't he stand up and be, you know, show integrity? When you take the characters and make them do things that are totally out of their character and the fans feel like we no longer know what this character is, you've lost the audience. And the WWE does that a lot. They do that a lot. Why do you think everybody likes Braun Strowman? Because they know how he's going to react. He's going to smash something. He's like the Incredible Hulk. You're just waiting for somebody to piss him off enough, and you're like, okay, well, now something's going to get smashed. That's why. He's the one guy whose reactions you know every time. Keep talking shit, and he's going to come down here and tip shit over, probably with you on it. That's the guy whose motivations is the most obvious, and he's, and they've even tried to get him out of character by playing the bass and singing. But in my opinion, Sabretooth, that's the problem, is character motivations do not seem to be correct, and we lose sight of who that character is.
Right. And also, it's just like lack of respect for, like, creative goals. It's like lack of respect for the characters. Like you said, these characters, I mean, these characters have fans who know what they would do in certain situations. I mean, like with Mickey James, they knew that Mickey James, I mean, we know that Mickey James wouldn't all of a sudden just side with Alexa Bliss and jump an Oscar like that. We know that, we know her, she would, why would she do that? And we know that.
You're right.
If Finn Balor, like, and Finn Balor's an upstanding guy, first of all, he wouldn't have upstaged Seth Rollins after his victory. Also,
right.
Like I said, he wouldn't come out to pick the bones of a guy who just got his ass beat. Just,
right.
You know, it's like they expect us just to forget what these characters are about.
I know. You know, I got a guy writing me. This is a very interesting analogy he made. He said, characterization, example, Ralph Cramden on The Honeymooners always threatened to hit his wife, but you always knew he never would. That's a good point. See?
Ralph.
You know, that's a good point. He always said bang zoom to the moon, but you knew he was never serious and he would never lay a hand on her. And if one day he clotheslined her, you would never feel the same way about Ralph Cramden again, right? Yeah.
He'd be a wife beater.
Right, right. That's a great point, actually. That's a very good point. Yeah, and that's exactly what they do with these characters. You say, okay, Kurt Angle would never lie, you know, to somebody. He's too, you know, he's all red, white, and blue, Mr. America, honesty and loyalty. And, oh, no, he did lie. Oh, Finn Balor would never pick the guy's bones because he wants to prove him. Oh, no, I guess he is going to pick his bones. Kurt Angle would never use his position to bully another wrestler because he has too much respect for the... Oh, no, he is using his position to bully somebody. It doesn't make any sense.
And what's crazy is it like they get it right with certain characters, though. I mean, they do it right with John Cena. I mean, like, he does... I mean, he's an upstanding guy. He would never... I mean, you know...
Yep.
Like certain guys, they get it right, and others, they don't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because John Cena's from the old school where they've already fleshed his character out, and now they figure, well, what the hell? That's a very good point. Look, I'm going to give this whole thing a... I guess I'm going to give it a... Jeez, it's so hard to rate this, because Mike is right. The matches were okay, and the some of the dialogue was good. I'll give the matches and the actual dialogue like a B plus or a B minus, but the rest of it I'm giving like a D minus because I just don't see anything to recommend. I mean, nothing is making me say I need to tune in next week. I absolutely need to. And SmackDown's been doing so poor they had to have John Cena say I'm going to be on there. Todd, for some reason we're not. I don't know if you can hear us, but we're not getting your phone. Your phone is not able to be turned on here. Can you hear us? I guess he can't. For some reason Todd's phone is not working. Blog Talk, we love you. Guys, thanks for listening, and we will see you on Friday with the SmackDown Report.